السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه بقدر حسنه وكماله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, over the past few Sundays we have been discussing a hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that my Rabb commanded me with regards to 9 things. Of course, there are so many other commands, so many other instructions, so many other directions. The whole Quran Sharif is filled with ahkam. But Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that these were specific instructions. Great emphasis was placed on these instructions, so that the ummah may open their ears and listen very carefully and attentively, that if the Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he has been given these instructions, he has been given these ahkam, or he has been specifically ordered with regards to these things, then how much more they should be concerned. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not going to commit any sin in his life. There was no question about it. There was no doubt about it. There was no such thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going to commit some sin in private life. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he must fear Allah in his private life and in his public life, in his seclusion and in public, in both places he must fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So I have repeated this many times, that it is for us, that we were prone to this weakness, we were prone to this illness, that we could be doing a lots of things in public because people are watching, but when it comes to our private lives, then there we do not fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab. We don't fear his displeasure. That is what it means. That we take it for granted that now nobody is watching, so therefore it does not matter if I have to commit this sin, and afterwards the door of tawbah is still open, so I will make some tawbah. Many people are taking advantage of this, or misunderstanding this ayat of tawbah, and saying that Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim, so therefore we will make tawbah later. Let's commit the sin now, we will make tawbah later. Last night also I explained that we should not say that because Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim, so therefore let us go on committing sins. This ayat was for those people who committed sins and now they do not know what to do. They are despairing of the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala assures them that no matter how much of sins you may have committed, I am prepared to accept you in whatever condition you are. As long as you return to me, as long as you recognize my hukumat, my government, my kingdom, as long as you recognize my authority, my sovereignty, I am prepared to accept you. As long as you recognize that you are human, you are weak, you have committed an error, you have made a mistake, you have sinned, you have displeased me, and now you are asking for tawbah, you are turning towards me with repentance, so I am prepared to accept you. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had only said that those people who committed shirk, those who did kufr, those who were munafiqs, or those people who committed zina, those people who stole, those who gambled, now it's over. 3 times I gave you a chance, and now like the labor unions, or the unions have laws that you must give 3 warnings, and after that dismiss the person, finish. So those kind of laws, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had, we would have had a problem. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, no matter how far you may have gone, and no matter what sins you have committed, I am prepared to forgive you. But then, as repeatedly mentioned, that now we will have to take a stock of those sins that we committed. That those sins which are forgiven with tawbah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive them. And those sins where we have to go and return, for example, whatever we are owing to people, then they will have to go and return that. If we have charged somebody interest on the account, and we made some money over the years from that person, compounded interest, interest upon interest, so now we should not take it for granted that our Hajj upon Hajj and Umrah upon Umrah and Tawbah upon Tawbah will make all that maaf. That person will still hold our garment on the day of Qiyamah and say that you made Tawbah in the masjid, but you didn't return my money, which you were owing to me, which you took from me in the form of interest. If money was stolen, if goods were stolen, if a person in his days of jahiliyyah and ignorance, he was working for somebody, and there he took what did not belong to him, he stole some money, he stole some items, then if he feels that now if he's going to inform that person will lose his trust and he will throw him out of the business, but now he has made sincere tawbah, then there are ways of returning that. Anonymously also the person can make a check out and send it, or make a postal order and send it, as long as it gets into that person's treasury. You do not have to reveal your name. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make that person maaf. The same with interest monies or whatever the person has taken which was not really Islamically due to him. So the tawbah there will be only accepted if this person has to pay back whatever is due. ND 4567 and 75761. 4567, 75761. Somebody wants to come out, please remove your cards. So that will be the tawbah. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He left that door open so that a person does not despair of His mercy. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not want anybody to despair of His mercy. But it did not mean that now the person continues, he is persistent, he goes on and says the door of tawbah is open. As I explained, that because Allah ta'ala is Razzaq, none of us will sit at home tomorrow. All those who have got businesses, all those who are working, those who are professional people, they all will go to their own jobs and duties, because they believe that Allah ta'ala is Razzaq, but we also have to do something. Just because Allah is Razzaq, we are not going to close our doors and sit. So Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim, but Allah ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim in the sense that the person has made a mistake, he has committed a sin, so now don't despair of His mercy. Turn towards Him, He will accept us. In whatever dirty condition we are, if we are going to cry, we're going to shed a few tears of repentance and make up our mind that the namazas which became qaza, I will make those qazas. If zakat I haven't given, I will give it. And if I have usurped any person's property or right, I will return it. I will ask for forgiveness. Then Allah Ta'ala will forgive. And this person, the moment he has made that tawbah, is already a wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now it will take him time. By the time he keeps those qazas, he will make those, keep those fasts, etc. But see how loving, how merciful, how compassionate and how kind our Allah is. That He does not want anybody to lose hope. Even the kuffar and the mushrikeen, even if they 99 years of their lives, they committed kufr and shirk, but now suddenly it dawned before them that Islam is a religion of haq and truth. So they must not feel that now 99 years I said Ram Ram, so if I'm going to say Allah now, how is it going to help me? If this person will say one time Allah now, he's going to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, believing in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as he should be believed in, then even if he has committed sins for 99 years, and now kufr for 99 years, with that one kalima of his, if he has to die just a second after that, he goes into Jannat. Where can we find another compassionate, merciful Allah like that? So that is the meaning of Ghafoorur Rahim. So the first thing there was that whether it is in our private life or public life, we have to fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab. We have to fear His displeasure. This is the thing that we have to learn, that we must not displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Even if there was no such thing as the fire of Jahannam, then to Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the Muslim or a believer, he should not be committing a sin. Because that Rahim Kareem Allah, who has blessed the person with so much, how can he displease him? How can a person displease his beloved? Barbaad-e muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge, barbaad-e muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge, wo mere dil-e nashad ko wo shad karenge, mere dil-e nashad ko wo shad karenge. Once we have destroyed the evil desires of our heart, the evil desires that came, but we allowed our heart to be shattered to smithereens, We say that we are not going to please this heart, we are going to please our Allah. So then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not allow another destruction to come upon this heart. Now Allah ta'ala will give happiness in that heart. Allah ta'ala will put happiness into that heart. He will enjoy this smashing of his heart's evil desires. Allah ta'ala will give him the sweetness of iman in there. Because this person destroyed his happiness, of evil desires which was coming in his heart. He destroyed that and he said, I must please my Allah. So now Allah ta'ala will please that. You have heard before too, that when devastation and destruction takes place, when there's an earthquake, there's a tremor, when there is a collapse of buildings, or due to cyclones, there's a lot of damage. So when the buildings have collapsed, so the government declares that area a disaster area. And then they provide cement, they provide material for the reconstruction of those buildings. The government now provides it because they say it's a disaster area. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also, he sees that this person, his heart is now a disaster area. There were lots of evil desires that were coming there. He was being tempted to steal. He was being tempted to gamble. He was being tempted by that most beautiful and pretty woman to commit adultery and zina. He was being tempted everywhere that he went. But this person said that all those temptations, they will lead me into trouble. So therefore, I'm going to allow my heart to be shattered. And he allowed it to become a disaster-stricken area. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ana inda munkasiratil qulub, that those hearts which are shattered, those hearts which are cracked to pieces for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says, I am now in that heart. Allah ta'ala, and when he comes in that heart, then what gardens do we need? It can be in the midst of thorns, that person will be like a flower there. The flower will bloom in the midst of thorns. Can be any kind of condition outside, but that flower will bloom. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he gives a beautiful example of the waterproof watch. He says that the Swiss made the waterproof watch, and the person goes deep down into the ocean, but the water does not go into the watch. The storms outside in that ocean, and we know what kind of storms there are in the ocean, but it does not affect the internal parts of that watch. Wow. In the same way, this heart of ours we must consider to be that watch. Wow. And all the storms outside, if we have got Allah inside, then it is gham proof now. That gham is all on the outside. That the person has got pain, the person has got ache, the person even complains to the doctor. But inside there is a kind of happiness which cannot be expressed in words. How can we express it in words? Because it is a feeling, it is something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to his Ahlullah. That whatever condition befalls them, they say, my Allah is pleased with this condition, so therefore I am happy with this condition. But they will take medication, they will make every effort to solve the problem, whatever the problem is. But inside there is a kind of contentment, a kind of satisfaction, a kind of peace, a kind of happiness. And all that comes because of that noor of Allah. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulstan mein. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulstan mein. Dekh kar mere ashke nadamat, dekh kar mere ashke nadamat, abr rahmat ki barish hai jaame. Dekh kar mere ashke nadamat, abr rahmat ki barish hai jaame. Ha, brothers, what he says? He says that jisse hain aap khush is jahame. Oh Allah, with whomsoever you are pleased in this world. Wo shab o roz hai gulstan mein. He is day and night in gardens. What we looking for? Gardens. People are going for entertainment and pleasure in the cinemas and theaters and every haram place. They want pleasure. What else are they going for but pleasure? But how can they get pleasure where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's lanat and curse descends? Allah. It can never bring pleasure. Ask everyone after that pleasure, what do they get inside their hearts? We all went through that kind of life. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must forgive us. Amen. But the thing is that what did we get after seeing that film in the cinema? Did we get peace? Did we get happiness? After we saw all those pictures, the filthy, dirty pictures on those screens, when we came outside those cinemas, then our hearts were burning. They were burning with restlessness. Because now we wanted a life like the one we saw on that screen there. Whereas they made a fool of us for a little while. They showed us some pictures there and they made fools of us. And at the end of it, we have bought nothing but restlessness, anxiety and worries. That's what we get after all that. And the person who will please Allah, he will eat good food, he will wear good clothing, he will be happy with his wife, he will be happy with his children, he will be conducting his business also, he will be upbringing his children, he will be doing everything that a normal person does. He is not going to become an abnormal person. He is not going to be deprived of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. He is not going to feel bored in this world. I don't know where the boredom comes that the person says we have to go to the cinemas, we have to go to the theaters, we have to go to the casinos because we are bored. We are getting bored because we are not pleasing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore we get no enjoyment in our zikr, in our tilawat, in our namaz, in our ibadat, in our association with our family, with our children, with our parents, with our friends, with our neighbors, and therefore we get bored. And then we say we must find it in all the haram places. But how can we find it in the haram places when it is not there? A person was searching outside. He was searching outside for something that was lost. There was a lamp post there and he was searching there. So somebody asked him, what are you searching for? He said, I dropped a coin and therefore I'm searching for it here. So he says, did you drop it here? He said, no, I dropped it inside the house. So why are you searching for it outside? He said, because there's a light shining here. So now this person, even if he searches under that light all his life, he is not going to find it because he dropped it inside the house. In the same way, if we are going to search for happiness because the lights are shining in the theaters, the lights are shining in the discos, and the lights are shining in the casinos, and the lights are shining in all those places, we are not going to find it because we have to search for it in the light of the Quran and the light of the Sunnah of Rasulullah. That is where we have lost it. We went away far from the Quranic teachings, we went away far from Rasulullah's teachings, and that is where we have lost that happiness. So how are we going to find it in outside under those lights? We will have to search. If we haven't got light, that means if we haven't got the light of the Quran and Hadith, we'll have to bring it in. Until we don't bring that light in, we are not going to find it. So everybody is searching for happiness. So jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsitan mein. And then say, dekh kar mere ashke nadamat. These tears that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sees of a person who is repenting, he loves them so much. He says, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala saw these tears of repentance flowing from my eyes, like the waterfall, when the water is coming down, heavy downpour there is, then what happens? There is a spray that goes far and wide. In the same way, he says that this eyes of mine, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala saw the tears rolling down, and for what? Not because my cat died, and not because my business collapsed, and not because of any other worldly and material thing. Whereas it is not haram, it is not sinful. If a person sheds some tears over the loss of his car, over the loss of his health, over the loss of his wealth, over the loss of some property, over the loss of his air tickets, or something like that, and the person is crying, it's not sinful, it's not haram. But what I am saying is that those tears that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala dearly loves are those tears of nadamat. Shame, that the person is ashamed that, oh Allah, you have been so kind to me, you have been so merciful. In spite of all my sins, you are giving me food to eat, you are giving me clothes to wear, you have given me shelter, you have given me transport, you have still given me my sight, although I saw millions of times that which brings your curse upon that sight. You have still given me my hearing and my speech in spite of all the sins that I have committed with it. Ya Allah, you are so kind, you are so merciful, but I am ashamed now that I have been still disobeying you, I have been still displeasing you. So therefore now this person is tearing, he is shedding tears of repentance. He says, dekh kar mere ashke nadamat, abre rahmat ki barish hai jame. Now the rains of rahmat is coming down on this person's life. In his life now, in his heart, he is getting the rains of rahmat. And he will sense it, he will feel it. Just make a little effort and you will see what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives in those hearts. It's not just a vague promise. It is not just some fantasy world we are talking about. It is a reality. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives it to his Ahlullah. It's just that we do not want to come out from our sinful lives. We want to remain there like that worm in the stool. That the worm in the stool, because it has become so accustomed to that filth of stool, it does not want to come out of it. And if by chance that worm somebody passed stool somewhere on the open felt, and that worm came out of that stool. All that's a filthy example, but what else can we do? Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi uses these filthy examples to show us the filth of our sins. He says that worm, it comes out of that stool, and then when it sees the fresh, it sees the beautiful sunlight, you see, it inhales the fragrant air, and the fresh air it begins to inhale. But now, because it is so used to that filth, it says, no, no, where have I come out? It wants to get back there. And you will find that it will crawl back into that same stool. So many of us, we come out of our sinful lives. We try to come out, we make some effort and we come out. But as soon as we come out, again the temptation is there. The pull is there. Therefore, I mentioned in some other majlis also, that those people who came out from the life of cinemas and theaters and gambling dens, those people who came out from the life of watching all the filth on the television screen, and they started finding some peace and some happiness and some satisfaction, then no matter how strong the temptation to read in the newspapers those columns that talk about what they are showing in the different cinemas, and no matter how strong the temptation to read about those film actors and actresses, just resist that temptation. If not, then this person will get back to that same stool as that worm got back to that stool. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me that I must fear him in public and in private life. Seclusion and in public. Both places I must fear my Allah. I must fear his displeasure. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, displeasing him is not an ordinary thing. It is just that Allah ta'ala, because he does not get angry like we get angry, that somebody disobey us once, twice, third time we will kick him out of the house. Parents have kicked the children out when the children back answered them. Parents have beaten the children up just because they back answered them immediately. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he goes on giving his ni'mat. Perhaps this banda of mine might return this evening, tomorrow morning. Allah knows. But Allah ta'ala gives the person a chance, so that he cannot say tomorrow that my Allah did not give me a chance. Allah ta'ala says, in any condition you come back. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told. But now if you are going to carry on, they will still again remain at the first point. So the second point was that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that my Rabb ordered me that I should say that which is just, which is fair, which is haq, which is truth, under all conditions, whether I am happy with the person or I am displeased, whether I am in an angry mood or in a good and a happy mood, whatever condition, but I must say that which is just. We discussed that at length too. There are so many incidents that are coming to mind, but we'll go further. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I must adopt moderation in whatever condition I am, whether it's poverty or whether it is richness, but I must not go on to extremes. And especially at present, when it comes to our weddings, our walimas, people say that the bells, the wedding bells, must ring very loud. The bells, the wedding bells must ring very loud. But when the wedding bells come ringing loud, then that time all those people who were encouraging that you must invite so many people and you must do this and you must do that and you must feed 7-course menu, when the bells come, then at that time there's nobody to be seen there. This poor person then is sitting with all that bank overdraft. And then sometimes the person is eating up. Sometimes the person is feeding the people at those weddings with money that he got by playing the insolvency game. He went into liquidation, and thereafter the money that was saved, he fed people in the wedding. I mentioned in what other majlis that the person told me himself, he says he was being owed 60,000 rands. And this person, he went bankrupt. And they did an agreement for so many cents in the rand. He says, I was very disappointed, I was heartbroken, and my whole life seemed to have come to an end because I was doing my small business. But then, within 2 weeks or 3 weeks, this person invited more than 1,000 people or 2,000 people. Very big, massive wedding, and with a 5-6-course menu. And I too was invited there. So he says, I was invited there too, so I sat. Now, this person, he says, he's not even ashamed. He's taking a walk there. And he says, Handa kajo barabar, eat well. So I said also, yes, yes, barabar kajo, isle ki humara hi paisa hai. It is our money, eat well, don't worry. It is our money, so eat well. Brothers, where does our shame go? Where does our dignity go? Where does our... Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We don't even become ashamed that what we are doing. So therefore, don't listen to people what they are saying. If we are going to listen to too many people, they are going to put us into the well and leave us there. But if we do everything in moderation, the person does not have to go to the bank, he does not have to borrow on interest, he does not have to do anybody down, he with his own halal earnings. How simple and easy Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made this sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is the nikah. So simple and easy. And nowadays we have a ready-made crowd, or everywhere they have a ready-built crowd, whether it's a Jummah or Isha or Maghrib or some namaz, and then in the presence of the witnesses, the person accepts somebody in his marriage over a little bit of dowry and mehr, and that's the end of the nikah. Walima also, you can go as simple as you want. It is not necessary that we have to go to that extent that people are now going. It can come as simple as you want. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's walima was that he asked the sahabas, whatever you've got in your bags, bring it. Somebody had some cheese, somebody had some dates, somebody had something else. They put it on the dastarkhan. Everybody sat down and ate. And that was the walima of our beloved Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for whom Allah ta'ala could have sent Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam down with trays upon trays of gold and silver and the fruits of Jannat to have that walima if he had desired. Look at the walima and the wedding of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So we can make things as simple as we want. Nikah took place. After the nikah, in the evening, people will come to meet the bride. They come to meet the groom. At that time, the groom's home, now whatever they are going to have for supper, just invite 3, 4, 5, 10 more people. That became a walima. Finished. How simple and easy. Does anybody have to go to the bank to borrow for that? But we know what is happening. That just for show, for name, for fame, as Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, he told one person who invited thousands of people in India, and thereafter that person was completely bankrupt. He borrowed from the banks and from those money lenders, and now he was in so much of qarz. So Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, sent a message. He said that with all that money that you spent, you have bought something which if you take and go to the bazaar now, you cannot even buy 1 rand worth of herbs. What he meant is that you were trying to buy name. With all that spending, you bought name. You thought you were buying name. Now if you go to the bazaar and you tell that vegetable seller that I want 1 rand worth of herbs because I got a name. I fed 10,000 people in my son's wedding. Then will he give you just because you got a name? So what have you bought? See, you've bought nothing. Kuch bhi kaam ka nahi. You should have rather given that money to the groom, to the bride, to the couple, let them use, buy one piece of land for them, build a home for them, if so much money you had. So what I was discussing was this, that adopt moderation. Don't go on to extremes. Don't do things for show, because at the end of the day, there's no barakat in such kind of affairs. Nothing. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that my Rabb ordered me that even if my family members have to break off, I'm giving you the meaning of that hadith, that if they have to break off their relationship, then too I must join. Sulman qata'ak wa'afu amman zalamak wa ahsin ila man asa'ilayk. Join. Even if they have broken it off, don't say that if they are behaving like that, why must I behave in a good manner with them? Still join. And those people who are not fulfilling my rights, I must still fulfill their rights. Whatever happens, I must still fulfill their rights. And give to them also, even they have deprived me of their gifts. And thirdly, that if a person has done injustice to me, then I must forgive that person. I explained this in the earlier majlis, that this is not compulsory, that the person has to. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is showing his akhlaq. And we claim to be the ashiks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, so we must show that we love Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and we love his akhlaq. So we too must have that kind of heart. That is a forgiving heart, that is a large heart, that is an accommodating heart, that we learn to forgive. Now these were the 6 points that we had covered. Now let us take one more in the next 10 minutes that we have. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that my Rabb ordered me that my silence should be meditation. Wow. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that my Rabb ordered me that when I am silent, my silence should be meditation. Now most of us, or practically everybody, at night, sometimes we cannot get sleep. So we are silent. We don't find a person keep talking all the time, even if there's nobody to listen to him, he will remain silent. We come to the masjid, there's 15 minutes to go, 5 minutes to go, we are before the namaz, we are silent. We are driving our car, we are alone, there's nobody we are talking to, we are silent. And even if there is somebody in the car, we don't go on chirping all the time. We sometimes remain silent. So there are so many occasions that we will be remaining silent. And in fact, as far as possible, our tongue should be engaged in zikr, or we should be silent, or talk that which is permissible. But we must not engage our tongue in any haram. So here the silence that we will be observing. The silence is such an important thing that some people say that you must observe 2 minutes of silence because somebody passed away. So observe 2 minutes of silence. Now what will that 2 minutes of silence help the deceased person? But in any case, we are talking about our Islamic culture. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb ordered me that my silence must be meditation. Meditation of what kind? That we will be silent. Now when we are silent, we must meditate. We must think of the heavens and the earth, the creation of the universe. We must think of the earth, the waters of the ocean. We must think of the fish in the sea, millions and billions of them. Just our sardine run, where it comes from and where it goes, they can't even find that up till now, with all the scientific instruments. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat, who can really understand? We have some knowledge of it. We have some knowledge of it, but we don't have all the knowledge. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we must not meditate in His person, that who Allah is, how He is, then we will go astray. We must meditate. Brothers, these two cars are blocking Breeza, please. 536-372-412-494. Please, you must park your cars properly because this is one of the teachings of Islam that it must not inconvenience any person. 536-372-412-494. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we must not meditate in His person. We must meditate in the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahar wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahari la-ayatin li-ulil albab الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. He says that is what the believers do. The intelligent people, what do they do? إن في خلق السماوات والأرض, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs for the ulul albab, for the people of intelligence. Allah Ta'ala calls them the intelligent people who use their intelligence, that Allah Ta'ala, He created the heavens and the earth in the alternation of the day and night, so there are signs of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's existence in there, Allah Ta'ala's greatness in there. Who are these people that are ulul albab? Allah Ta'ala does not say that those who have got plenty of degrees, because sometimes a person can have plenty of degrees and he can be the greatest atheist of the world. Yes, sir. The person has got the greatest degree, the highest degree of science, and he is the one who rejects the belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's existence. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says they are alladhina yazkurun Allah. So there is no sin and no harm in getting those qualifications and degrees, but it must make us recognize our Creator. So many times I have mentioned that everybody talks about the computer chip, that billions of pieces of information it can record, and it baffles our imagination. Indeed, it does baffle our imagination. But first, Allah Ta'ala gave somebody a chip in his head. If he didn't have that chip, then he would have not been able to invent any kind of chip. Then he would have been in the asylum. That is where he should have been. Allah Ta'ala first gave him some grey matter and some chip in his head, and then he came up with that chip that can record so much of pieces of information. So such people, every time that they come up with a new invention, they should be saying, فَتَبَارَكَ Ahsanul Khaliqin. They should be glorifying and praising Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, what qudrat of yours you have got. That here we are feeding a piece of paper into a computer, into a fax machine, and there's nothing that we see going from here. And next thing, in America, they have received the whole message. So, O Allah, this is your Qudrat. Who is it that made musakhar of all this? It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Guzarne wala sitaron ki guzargahon ka apne afkar ki duniya ka safar kar na saka. We have gone to the stars, we've gone here, we've gone everywhere there, but we haven't even made safar in our afkar as yet. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, my Rabb said that my meditation, my silence must be my meditation. So alladhina yazkurun Allah, those are the intelligent people who remember Allah, qiyaman, when they are standing, wa qu'udan, sitting, wa ala junubihim, on their sides. And what do? They meditate fi khalqi samawati wal ard, in the creation of the heavens and the earth. And then what conclusion do they come to after that? The conclusion they come to is Rabbana ma khalaqta haza, subhanak Rabbana ma khalaqta haza batila. Oh my Rabb, you have not created all this in vain. Subhanak, praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Faqina azaban nar. Oh Allah, protect me from the fire of Jahannam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my silence should be meditation. At present, what is our silence? When we are silent, what are the thoughts that go on in our minds? Compare that with what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling to us. He says, my Rabb is ordering that when you are silent, there should be meditation. We are not saying it is haram now to think of the business or to the deal that you have to close or to whatever food you have to eat or anything of that nature. It's permissible. But our thoughts should not only be focused on those things. There must be meditation. There must be meditation. Our thoughts when we are silent, whether it is in the masjid or whether outside the masjid, mostly is in haram things. Especially those who are in illicit relationships, then they say, they write. As I said, that a sheikh does not treat a person he does not humiliate a person who says that I've got this sickness, I've got this weakness. A sheikh should treat a murid as a person who is sick, a person who is requiring assistance, no matter what kind of sin he is involved in. But when the person is deeply regretting there and he wants to come out of it, then we have to treat that person as a patient, as a sick person, sympathize with that person. So now they are writing, they are saying that when we are sitting in the masjid also, the thoughts of the sins that we committed in the past, they come flooding into our minds. So I always tell them, one is to bring them, and the other is that they just come. If they just come, then ignore them. Don't fight. Don't bark back at the dog that's barking. Let them just come. It's a national highway. Let them pass through. Don't hold them there. And also don't entertain them. Don't lay down the dastarkhan, the tablecloth, and say that I am extremely pleased with your coming into my mind at this part of the time. And then enjoy those thoughts. Don't fantasize, because shaitan will take you back to that same place. So when those thoughts come, just ignore them. Make tawbah, istighfar, and read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, amantu billahi wa rusuli, and forget about them. But what I am saying is this, that our silence, what does it bring to our mind? For those people who are committing fraud, it brings to their mind that how must we catch the next one? We caught one, now how must we catch the next one? We hijacked one truck, how must we plan another one? We caught so much of containers, how must we do the other one? That is what thoughts are going on in the mind, right in the masjid also when they come for namaz. Because if they were sincere tawbah, then they would not have gone outside the masjid after making tawbah and repeating what they were doing. If they were sincere tawbah, then that person would not have gone outside and repeated what he was doing. I mentioned in one of my Jummah talks that in the Jummah namaz we come and masjid is packed, and lots of people after that, when the imam is making dua, then generally the imam includes in his dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azaban nar. That is one dua that generally we include, or some dua in which we are asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from the azab of qabar, from the azab of akhirat, and from his anger and from his displeasure. Now this person made that dua and he asked Allah for his rahmat, for his blessing, for his mercy, and he made ameen and went away. But at that very moment, while they are sitting in the masjid, they've got the chips of the casino in the pockets. And the plan is there that when I come out from here, I'm going to head straight for the wild coast. That means whilst he was making tawbah, at that time also his niyat was to get there again. And there are so many people, they've got the diaries of their girlfriends, or the girls have got of their boyfriends, and they've got it in their pocket, and they come to the masjid. Or they've got the numbers there, and they know fully well, or if they haven't got it there, they got it in their heads. And they know fully well that after we come out from here, we are going to go back there. We are going to go and meet, and we are going to indulge in that same haram again. So then what kind of tawbah is that? Do we expect Allah's rahmat and mercy and peace of mind and happiness and contentment and satisfaction to come on that kind of tawbah? So when we make tawbah, the intention must be not to return to it. Then accidentally the person slipped again. The person had his car panel beaten, but he was driving and again he met up with some smash. Then go and get it panel beaten again. But don't repeatedly do that because there is some panel beater nearby. Or don't repeatedly burn your hands because there is an ointment in the home. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, Ameen. And all of the ummah, the tawfiq to make amal. And inshallah we will continue on this point next week. But there is a little change of program. The next Sunday, because I'm going to be in Roshni inshallah, Friday, Saturday, and coming from there Sunday, it might be a bit tiresome. So I have decided to postpone the Sunday one for Monday night, inshallah. So make a little sacrifice and change, make some adjustment to your program. Inshallah, on Monday night after Isha, we will continue from here. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ay Allah, humare gunahon ko maaf farma, saghira, kabira, amadan, khata'an, zahiri, batini, har gunah ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, humare dilon ke andar sukoon aur chain naseeb farma. Ya Allah, give us peace, happiness, contentment, satisfaction. Ya Allah, forgive each and every sin of ours, our major sins, minor sins, the sins we committed in the light of day or darkness of night, sins we committed purposely or unknowingly. Ya Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health, with halal risk and sustenance. Ya Allah, give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Ya Allah, cause the winds of hidayah to blow throughout the continents. Ya Allah, bless all the Muslim ummah with forgiveness, with mercy, with rahmat. Ya Allah, those who are suffering hardships and difficulties, especially at present in Turkey and other parts of the world, Ya Allah, remove their difficulties. Have mercy upon them. Oh my Allah. Save us also from all kinds of calamities, disasters and problems and difficulties. Ya Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. Oh my Allah, do not seize us and do not punish us. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. جزاك الله خيرا.